What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I'm your host, Krista Salms, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
Sup? Good to see you, Chris. Nobody else on the line, of course.
Just great me and to you. See you.
Great to see you. Oh.
I tweeted it today. We got a special guest. Oh, my God. Who is it? Our brother in arms, Mr. Ethan Cohen. Ethan, hello. How are you? Welcome to the show. First time, long time.
Yeah. Happy to be here, Chris. I've been asking now for about 2 years to get on the pod, and they've finally given in. Absolutely delighted to be here. Yeah, love second it. Guest.
Strand, hot seat, Strand.
Strand's on the hot seat. He was the GOAT, but now I'm here. Absolutely delighted to be here and to absolutely just, you know, cause havoc to Kevin and his Islander family.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect anything less, so it's okay. But happy to have you, you know, new guest on the pod.
Very happy. Love to see you. Very happy.
I
was looking at the notes that we had. We haven't recorded in like 2 weeks, obviously. And you made the point, Kevin, that I just put the Rangers their record as my title or as my name every time we record. It was funny when I started, they just won 5 games. Losses did not change. It just changed from 27 to 31. That's as far as I'll go into the game recap talk because we have a little bit of a huge piece of news. All right. So
we're so late.
So let me set the scene for this. I'm at work last week. This happened Thursday. And the new president, who was the new number two of my company, who fucking flew here from Washington State, the other side of the fucking country, is in my office. Yeah, for the entire fucking week and could see me from where she's sitting. I have you texting me. I have Ethan texting me. I have my friend Jake texting me. I have Twitter fucking blowing up saying, oh my God, Gemma, what the fuck's going on? I was sitting at my desk the entire time in my head just going, I don't know what to do with my hands right now because I want to text. I want to be on Twitter. There was a million and one things that I wanted to do. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you've been living under a fucking rock. The Rangers pulled a page out of Lou's book. Lou is the catalyst for this. So, like,
it's always the Islanders making the Rangers do things. First it was the Wilson incident. It's just clearly worked out well for us. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, Tarasenko is now officially a Ranger. And it's funny, Kevin, I was texting you probably like what a day or two before that saying everyone on Rangers Twitter was all over Tarasenko to the Rangers. And then it happened like 3 days later.
Big move.
It was a huge move. A lot of people, you know, what went back to St. Louis was hilarious, to be completely honest with you. So the full trade was Tarasenko and I can't
Nico
even say
Nikola, I think.
Nico Mikola. I always want to say Miko Nikola. Great so
name.
Great
name.
Finnish as fuck name. So those two came over to the Rangers. What went back to St. Louis? He's coming home. He's coming home. Sammy Blay is coming home. He's back in St. Louis. I was joking with my friend.
What a run by Sammy Blay.
Oh, dude, I'll run through. I'll run through the 54 games he's played for the Rangers.
Best known for being the piece in the Pavel.
Yeah, so he was just constantly – so the minute he was traded, he was just constantly shit on because Booch was in the trade and the value coming back to the Rangers sucked. In 54, 59 games with the Rangers, goose egg. He scored not a single fucking goal. Scored one first game back with St. Louis, so – good shit there.
Really?
First game back.
Love that for him. I mean, fair enough there.
Yeah. So no goals for New York, 9 assists, 54 games. Then he tore his ACL. And then everyone had to find out that he may or may not. This is all alleged. He may not, but he also may want to fuck his sister. So Tarasenko and Miko Nikola to the Rangers. Sammy Blay going home. A conditional first round pick. And it's the worst of the two first round picks.
It's a first round pick, regardless.
It's a first round pick. But
it's a late 20s pick, pretty much.
It's a late 20s pick. It's the worst of the two, which is fine by me. He still have the Dallas pick. So, and there were some people online on Rangers Twitter that were like bitching because they were like, oh, you don't have two first round picks anymore. I'm like, bro, this is a win now team. Like, the window is open. You have to win now. It's like, it's not going to be open for very long if the cap does not go up significantly anytime soon. So, yeah, I didn't really mind losing the second first rounder just because you already had one, so you still have one. A conditional fourth rounder, it's essentially a third rounder. The conditions on it are that as long as the Rangers make the playoffs, it'll be a third round draft pick this year. So I thought that.
So it's a third rounder.
Yeah, they're calling it a conditional fourth rounder, but the condition is if the Rangers make the playoffs, it turns into a third rounder. So it's essentially a third round pick. And then just a middling prospect in Hunter Skinner. I have no prospect report on him. I don't even know if the Rangers drafted him. I have like this sneaking suspicion
they did. I think he was like a third round pick or something like that.
Oh, you know who I'm thinking that got, you know who I'm thinking of for, I don't know why. I was thinking Joey Keane.
He was a fourth round pick. Yeah, not the Hurricanes guy. Skinner, yeah, fourth round pick. He's got, the guy's playing in the BCHL. He's
playing in the E, right?
Sucks. Forget it.
He's playing in the coast.
He is playing in the coast in Jacksonville, but yeah, good trade overall. I mean, I thought that them getting Mikola was genius on top of that. I mean, he's left-handed defenseman. You get to wave Hayek. I mean, to get Tarasenko scored in his first game, I mean, to get that left-handed D on top of that, for especially when you have two first-round picks, I mean, I guess it might be a rental, and you give up Lundqvist for a rental, but that's such like a domino effect that doesn't even count. So it's a good deal. I liked it for the Rangers, as – and clearly Panarin liked it because he had four goals. So fair enough.
It's his best friend. I don't know why, because I was listening to a Rangers podcast earlier in the week, and they brought up this point that all leading up to like the trade deadline and stuff now, everyone's talking about how Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin are like best friends. They want to be playing together again and all this shit. As soon as this trade happens, the floodgates open with all these pictures of Tarasenko and Panarin being like best buddies in Russia, like riding bears and shit. And I'm like, where was this for like months? Like, why are we not pushing this agenda? Why are we pushing someone who's damaged goods? He's got like one hip right now. Among doing some other scumbaggery things. I just didn't get it, but yeah, great move by Drury. I'm really happy with it. It really pumped the team up. As you can see, that first game they played, Tarasenko scored second shift. It was awesome. I don't remember. Was it
Ethan? What were your thoughts on the trade? I want to hear see what you got cooking in the stew over there. What do you think?
Yeah, Kevin. I love the Tarasenko trade. Funny part is I've been texting Chris. I've been getting bigger and bigger into the Rangers.
Unfortunately.
My dad. For a while there, I was a pretty big playoff fan. I'll admit, you know, I'd catch a few games. But this year, I decided to really dive headfirst. My dad was at the 94 Cup. So we are big Ranger fans. But I decided to really get into it because the team's doing well. Kid line, all that. And so my fandom really revolves around my NHL franchise mode.
Oh, facts. Such a great mode.
So I need to make a big deal. And he was telling me like, oh, we might go after Patty Kane, maybe Tarasenko, maybe Timo Meier.
Yeah, he's an option.
Yeah, right, the first time. That was good.
Yeah, that's he's going to be a fucking now. Devil, dude.
No, I don't think the Rangers make any more impact moves besides.
No.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, so I was trying to, you know, I was like in the Tarasenko. He's tough to trade for because I didn't realize that they're sellers. But fun fact about it, other than the fact it was awesome and we gave up nothing. And funny part about Skinner, you said he plays in Jacksonville.
He does.
My cousin works with the Iceman or the Hitman.
There you go.
Or the Iceman. So yeah, he knew Skinner. Skinner was devastated. That's breaking news.
Really? Oh, snap. Oh man.
Devastated,
inside,
bro.
Inside sources. This is unbelievable.
He would never have sniffed the main roster. On his best day, he might not have even sniffed.
Let's not turn this into Hunter Skinner.
I don't know him, and he doesn't know me. Who gives a fuck?
To be honest, I made all that.
Oh. Canceled. I was really impressed with your inside sources there, too. That's a shame.
So all my stuff then stays the same. Fuck Hunter Skinner. Get out of here, you bum.
Fair enough.
And then my only other cool fun fact is that I saw on Ranger Twitter was So the Rangers have had two players in the history wear number 91. Both of them have never scored a goal for the Rangers. Tarasenko scored on his first day.
Was Sammy Blaine 91?
Sammy, dude, yeah, they literally just ripped the fucking nameplate off.
Pretty much. Hey, easy for the guys. Just rip the nameplate off. Hot press a new one on.
Yeah, because I don't know if his number was 91 before he played on St. Louis, because I think he's playing at 91 now at St. Louis. He was like 70-something, 77, I think, when he won the cup with them.
Who else was 91 on the Rangers? I'm going to go look it up. I like that fun fact. This is a throwback to season one, man.
The other guy who was 91 played like four.
This is a real deal.
I remember like looking at it too and being like, all right, he played five games, whatever. He didn't score.
Yeah.
And then you see Sammy Blaze and you're like, that guy's a sad.
Ironically, did anybody else just hear that or was that just me?
That was just you, brother.
Okay, I just heard like Chevy Silverado, and I don't know what that was, but I'm not even kidding. I'll tell you about that after. But yeah, ironically enough, the other guy was Evgeny Grachev, who went on to play for St. Louis and scored a goal in St. Louis. So we got a lot going on here. That's pretty good.
That's actually hilarious.
Yeah, good deal for the Rangers. I mean, can't really complain about. I think all of his. He had a lot of shoulder surgeries. What was it, three? Which I guess kind of severed his relationship with St. Louis. But the guy looks fine now. He's scoring goals. He's had a few things banged up here and there. But going for a cup this year, maybe sign him to like a 3-year.
Oh, dude, I would.
$6 million, $5.5 million. It would make sense. But I think I could see him taking discounts to play with Panarin.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was going to say two questions. Is one, do you see him taking a discount to stay play with Panarin, and then. I mean, I'll let you guys answer that. But then, like, number two with him, right, is – just answer number one.
I could see it. I mean, just based on the fact that Panarin is his best buddy. But then again, I don't know. Does he want to cash out? He's 31. It's the last big time he gets free agency. That's the only reason I think, like, maybe he wants to cash out. But I don't know.
I also got to also look at it this way. The Rangers traded for him because they needed goal scoring. They needed someone to fill that first line right wing spot. The rest of the league knows he's had all these surgeries and like is not the Tarasenko of like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. This is a guy who's now in his early 30s with three shoulder surgeries, and you're probably, unless you're dumb, you're not going to give him like a $9 million contract. He's probably going to have to take a pay cut. And if the Rangers won this year and he has the option to sign a 2 or 3 year deal, maybe run it back again next year with a full season of Panarin, a full season with the Igor. It's like, they kind of have like a little Russian mafia right now.
Commies, like I said in the group chat. As if Sorokin's not our biggest piece. That's okay.
he's like an adjacent member. He's like an affiliate.
Pretty much.
He's like the consigliere. I mean, I could see it. I could see him signing, but I don't know. They gotta focus. I think they have to focus on their young guys first. And if they have some money laying around, like if a Barclay Goodrow got traded away, then yeah, fuck it. Sign Tarasenko again.
Tonight he's not even on Panarin's line again. Is there a reason that they're doing that? Like, I feel like that, because I think Tarasenko's on the first line. I think it's Kreider, Zibanejad, Tarasenko, and then the second line is like Panarin. You know, I think it's Trocheck. Can't think who the right one is. But is there a reason why they separated them? You know,
that's just the wonderful world that we live in. That's Gerard Gallant's world. I don't know how he thinks. I think. It's a new toy. You want to test it out with as many different line combinations as possible. So, you know, he kind of has in his back pocket Panarin, Zibanejad, Tarasenko works. Tarasenko, Zibanejad, Kreider works. Trocheck, Panarin, Vizi worked on Saturday night, or yeah, Saturday in Carolina. But that game is also just kind of like an anomaly, because right now the Rangers fucking own Carolina. I don't think they've beaten us since game 4 of the playoffs last year. Like, I don't think they've beaten the Rangers this year.
I forgot you guys beat the Hurricanes. My God. Bunch of bums. I was at the Hurricanes
Rangers this year at MSG. We would score, then they scored about, I've never seen anything like it in my life. They would score 4 seconds.
That's so fucking Rangers defense, though, just like taking a lead or like grinding to get back in a game, and then like them just completely being broken down 17 seconds later. It's like, oh, it's 3-2 now with 13 seconds left. We just blew the game.
I think we scored first, so we went down 1-0, and we scored, right? Tied the game. Then everyone's still standing like, yay, we scored, tied it. We turn around, and all of a sudden they score, and you're like, all right, we score tied. You're like, this can't happen again as they're coming down the ice. And then they do it again, and you're just like looking around, and yeah, so... I'm not scared of them, though.
Hurricanes are a bunch of frauds. But I think we touched on this.
I don't know. They look pretty good this year. But I don't know. They never been able to get over the hump, so I don't know.
They're the new Caps, dude. They're just, you know, they'll be...
That's a little harsh, I think.
Rod the Bod's been a part of that franchise...
It's true.
For 5 years. And they got over the hump once. They got over the hump once. They did make it to the conference finals, I think his first or second year, like coaching the team. But yeah, they haven't been able to escape the second round since.
No, I don't remember that. You know, I must have blocked it out when they made it to that third round. I don't know
what happened or who they beat there, but I had to block it out. That would have been 2019, by the way. So they do have to win this year or next year, but we'll see. But
yeah, so moving on from there, Kevin, I said this to you last time we recorded, and I can officially say it now. Great trade by Lou Lamoriello.
That's a pretty good trade. I mean, it's a shame because the mood has soured immensely since last week when I was very excited about it. Horvat's great. 3 goals in 3 games. I mean, he almost just scored right now. This guy's flopping around like a fish in the game. He's an ECHL goalie. We came and scoring him. But
Who are the Islanders playing?
They're playing Ottawa, and they have Kevin Mandelay's in that.
But yeah, you called it. We said it. Good trade by Lou. You know, Lou said it himself. He's like, it's a bit more money and a bit more years than you'd want, but that's the price you pay. It's 8 by 8.5. Oh my gosh, how does that not go in? It's 8 by 8.5. So it's a lot of money, especially for a guy who's going. He'll be, I think, like 36 when his deal expires. Barzal will be 35, same years. But I don't know. It's weird when the team loses 2 games to Vancouver and then Montreal and drops 3 out of 4 points, especially when you have a 4-2 lead against Vancouver and 2 one-goal leads against Montreal. So it's kind of sour the move on Horvat. But, you know, he's a fantastic player. I'm excited for the next 8 years. It's just all really – I think hope is lost about this season, unfortunately. I'm really close to canceling it. My good buddy Joe Braun. I'll have to reach out to him for the official word. He's the official canceller, but it depends how tonight goes. It's getting close. It's getting real close.
You're gonna cancel this season.
It's getting close. It's all about next year, though. You know, you got Horvat for a full year. If next year goes bad, I don't know what the hell you do, but we'll see. Panic. I mean, the panic is already on. I mean, you can't miss the playoffs 2 years in a row.
And you kind of wonder, like, you know, the building's packed, like 75% full tonight. Team's not playing good. You have a brand new arena. You're not getting playoffs 2 years in a row in. I feel like if you're the owners of this $1.5 billion franchise, you are probably pretty mad right now. So I'm very intrigued about what happens this summer. I don't know if Lambert survives it, to be honest, not to go off the Horvat talk, but I don't really have anything else besides unless you jump in. But
Lambert had a... coming home.
He's still under contract.
should we cue the music?
The only thing that makes me think not is that he wouldn't do that to his buddy Lane just because he's been with him for so long. But Lambert had this whole the media members were like freaking out because Jesus Christ.
I'm gonna guess a 2-1 game Ottawa.
It is a 2-1 game Ottawa. It's that rat Brady Tkachuk. He had this really all the media members are like, Lambert's screaming at the players. He's blah, 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 this, that, a practice. And they come out looking like crap today. So quite frankly,
if they miss the playoffs, I don't think Wayne Lambert's coach next year. I'll say it right now.
The only thing I had to say, just because I was talking to you about it pretty frequently, was I think it was last Thursday or Friday, or I don't remember even when it was, that game against the Canucks. Mm-hmm. Bo and Bo's first game.
Yeah. Of course, Pavilion scored the game-winning goal.
I mean, that's just – I wasn't even – and again, I preface it, I was not being sarcastic when I tweeted. I'm like, that loss fucking hurts. Oh, like, that is a stinger. That's the type of loss where you're like, I don't want to get out of bed tomorrow. Like, I'm just spending the day in bed.
You're 4-2. Unbelievable. I mean, the team is on a down spiral. It's not good. I don't know what the solution is. The defense is so trash. It's like they forgot everything Trotz taught them. I don't get it. Like, I get it. Different systems. You're pinching more. Nice shot on goal by Tyler Mott right there. But the defense is trash. I don't know. The Islanders have such problems. I don't know what the solution is. And I'm thankful that I'm not the one that has to figure it out. Good luck, old man Lou. We'll see, though.
When does he get canned?
Bro, the owners love him. I don't know what it is.
Oh. Completely off topic today, Kevin.
Oh, let's go for it. I'm good.
I was listening to Chicklets before. Mm-hmm. Where were you this last, like, Super Bowl week?
Where was I?
Yes. Were you in the state of New Jersey or were you in Arizona?
I was in the state of New Jersey.
Because they were telling a story today on Chicklets. Some guy from Long Island drove from fucking Long Island all the way out to Arizona to go to a Spit and Chicklets event at the Barstool Bar. To get into the bar, he showed up at 9 in the morning there. Pretended he was a part of the Chicklets team, set the whole place up, like got the staff, set everything up. And then when the Chicklets guys came, they're like, oh, like, who are you? He goes, oh yeah, I'm the manager of this place. So he told the bar he was a part of Chicklets. He told the Chicklets he was part of the bar. And then eventually the stories like cross paths because Grinnelli's taking a piss. And the guy's in the bathroom and he's like, they're going to kick me out. And he goes, what are you talking about? He goes, I've been lying this whole time. I told the bar I'm with you. I told you guys I'm with the bar. I just really want to work for you. And I was just like, holy shit, this kid drove from fucking Long Island.
That's a hike. Let alone walking it. I mean, driving it's a lot.
It was so funny. God. And then they also told a story about how they met Lamorello's son.
Yeah, Chris.
Chris they said Lamorello. They said they met him, and he essentially, like, jokingly threatened them, but also kind of threatened them to, like, stop bringing up Butch and Lou.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That is not good.
Lamorello sending his shooters out to do his dirty work.
God, somebody, why? What is wrong with this friend? I was at the top of the world. My buddy Joe, it's texting me the other day. He was like, Kev, like, it's got to be brutal to listen to, like, Chris, you know, having such a good time with the Rangers. I was like, man, I was having so much fun the first 2 years. I was having a great time. Like, it was elite having those two cup runs. I was on top of the world. He had to listen to it for 3 years. And now I'm just down in the dumps. I don't know what's wrong with this franchise. I can't believe the guy is 81 years old. It's like, what are we doing here? It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. But that's really all I had about the island. Go ahead.
The GM of the Islanders is 81.
Yeah.
He just won't quit. He literally won't quit.
He said already.
How long has he been with, like, the Islanders?
Let's see if I can find his exact age. Oh, he's a Providence guy. He's at Providence for a while. Let's see. Gotta find this guy. Chris Lamorello.
He's been with the Islanders, what, like 4 years now? Longer?
Yeah.
I was going to say like 25.
No, like 6 years. No, he's with the Devils for a while. He was the idiot that gave what's his face? That like 13-year yeah, he gave Kovalchuk a 13-year contract.
That sounds so short. It was 17.
17, I'm sorry. Yeah, and then he's got the
contract.
And then he's got the balls to bitch about Horvat's contract. It's too many years, too much money. You gave someone a 17.
You were the problem. You created the rule, Lou. Jeez Louise. I respect him a lot for what he did for the Islanders and bringing structure to it, but like the fact that we don't have Jordan Eberle and Devon Toews right now is just it's a crime. It's an absolute crime.
Did you want them to leave Eberle out to dry like that, like to get drafted, to get taken?
I feel like it was a bad take at the time. You know, I thought it was fine.
Because I'm trying to remember, like I definitely he was definitely was not on your keeper's list, but like, yeah, you were a little, you were.
I feel like it's a shame how it happened, but like
at the time, you wanted him to go. You're like,
it's
you,
fine.
You were kind of like, it was fine. I think his time here is over. His best days are behind him. And two seasons later, it's not like his best. It's not like his best seasons are still kind of behind him. He's kind of having like this renaissance, but. You don't know how long it's gonna last. Yeah, it's better watching him on another team be successful than him still struggle in your team's jersey.
And he was good for the Islanders. He never really struggled. That's the thing. He just made too much money. I mean, it's a shame. You know, I already went through my Nicoletti apology tour, so I just can't do another one. I can't muster it up. I just gotta live with my bad takes.
The Devon Toews stuff,
unbelievable.
Yeah, that one hurts. That one just flat out hurts. But yeah, that was
that's funny. All I got about the Islanders. Ethan, what do you think about the kid line about the Rangers? You're our guest. I gotta hear your thoughts.
Yeah, no, the kid line's great. Again, like you know, following them loosely over the past few years. I remember with friend of the pod, our other brother, Kevin. Kevin Campanella struggled, didn't know if it struck last name or not. We watched it must have been the last, like the year we drafted Lafreniere, together. So I remember being super excited about him. Everyone was like so high on him, like this guy's gonna be the next coming to Jesus. And I was like,
you're supposed to be.
Right. Hey man, soon come next season, 4 years.
Yeah,
they all plan out after four.
Kako was the year before. That was the Jack Hughes. It was him and.
Yeah, it was Hughes, Kako.
So I remember kind of like watching them both get drafted and being excited about it. And something I realized too, because Hedel this year is obviously having, you know, best year of his career probably.
Without a doubt. And as a Hedel apologist.
He looks great. He looks great.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. So just like looking back at him, right? I think he's 6 years out from his draft. I think I was talking to Chris.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, crazy. Wow. Six fucking years. Yeah, because fucking Darlene was on.
By then.
Yeah, well, that's why I was like, all at the beginning of this season, I was like, if he doesn't fucking pan out, it's you got to ship him out. But fucking, I was listening to Chicklets today. They had Darlene on. He was like, they were like, yeah, how does it feel being in your fifth year of the league? I was like, God damn, 5 years he's been in this league already? So time flies. That's the point I was making. Back to Ethan.
Yeah, no. So, like, I mean, again, like, right with Hedel. I mean, we said it right. I remember early on in his, you know, 3 years in, you're probably saying, like, all right, we're done here. Or like,
oh, not me. 4 years. Not me. I was very much against that.
Yeah. And then, you know, now Kako is what? In his fourth?
Yeah, this is year four for him. Yeah.
Started the year pretty hot. He's having a decent year, I'd say. And the same thing with Laff, right? I remember last year, like, people on Twitter were saying something like, is Laff like a bust, yada, yada. I'm like, but he's a year or 2 years out of his draft. Like, you guys got to give people time to develop. So the fact that we have this kid line, you know, if you look at it from the salary cap type thing, it's nice that they're kind of on cheaper deals too for the most part. And, you know, you got them under contract for a little bit there. And they're fun. Like, I think they bring fans like myself. Like, I got extra excited about the team because you have, like, that young talent.
That's fair.
I'm a huge, huge soccer fan, and like, it's a huge, huge part of soccer is like young talent coming up into the team and their academies. And
sorry, I understood the post.
So I know, like, I like get super interested, like when you see your draft picks, your young players kind of come up. It's fun. Keandre Miller,
guys, he's a dog. Again, guys, dog.
Right. You know,
He is. So, like, watching them kind of come up, you feel like you're joining the team, like, part of the team, like, watching them get better and better. So, Hedlund's been awesome this year. Hedl's been a beast. And I'm not worried about Kaku or Laugh at all. Like, I want them to take their time to progress. If we're going to get three Hedl-level productions out of all three of them by, you know, 2-3 years, I don't care. You know what I mean? Do what you got to do. Obviously, you want it tomorrow. But you got to let these kids develop. You know, apparently the Rangers aren't too great at developing.
No, they're known for not being able to develop prospects and watching their picks ask to leave, some of them twice. We'll just gloss over this. Kravtsov, we're back at it again, requested a trade. I get why they didn't trade him the first time. They tried mending the relationship. I'm not going too deep into this because we talked about this like at
nauseam. 30 minutes.
I don't want to anymore. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm so fucking just frustrated with the whole situation. I don't want him anymore. I just want him out of the organization. Just trade him. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just becoming a thing where it's like, I don't want to focus on the negativity unless it's like, from a coaching standpoint, because they control what's going on out there. It's like they create the plays. It's like the guys out there can only do so much. If like, so like my negativity is going to be towards like dog shit trades and bad coaching decisions. I don't give a fuck about the players anymore, especially the ones that are going to be a headache. Kravtsov has been a headache. The Rangers organization as a whole is disappointing in developing and maintaining relationships with their prospects, because again, it's a huge franchise. There's probably more good. The good outweighs the bad in terms of getting drafted by the Rangers. You're getting drafted to an original six club that is they're gonna give you everything you want in the world if you can make the team. But and everyone's like, but the negative side of it is if you're a prospect and a young one and someone they take a swing on like Elias Anderson or Kravtsov or Nils Lundqvist, it's like, you know, even though Lundqvist was a safe pick, it's like you've had two top 10 picks in the last 5-6 years request a trade. You had a pretty safe pick that everyone pegged as like one of your best defensive prospects and someone who should just be in the lineup regularly request a trade. You have guys who should be in an NHL lineup over guys like Ben Harper on defense just playing in the AHL. You have guys like Libor Hájek just taking up spots because you're afraid if we put him on waivers, someone's going to claim him. It's like the Rangers just don't develop prospects well. And I think that's just where all this frustration is coming. I want Kravtsov out of my hair. I wish him all the best. I hope he becomes elite. I hope he becomes like a great winger somewhere. It's just not going to be here. It didn't work. Just fucking move on.
Yeah, that's all fair. It's like that tweet I sent you. It's a shame just because, well, depending who you ask, obviously, but especially for you guys, it's like it's all this young talent, it's all this hype, and really not anybody has lived up to it besides Hedl at this point, I think. Especially, but maybe tempers were level for Hedl because he wasn't like that top echelon player. I mean, I think Kako is who he is now. Lafreniere still has room to grow. But I sent you that tweet earlier. It's like, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing. It's going to come off bad, but like, it's been a really, really mangled rebuild since the letter. It's been really bad with how the picks have gone, the trades have gone, but you get guys like Fox and Panarin and Shesterkin have like totally saved it, because say those guys aren't here and you have Anderson request a trade, Kravtsov request a trade, and Kako and Lafreniere are like so far. It's like the outlook looks totally different. And I'm, like I said, I'm not saying it's anything bad per se, because that's the allure of New York, but it is pretty crazy how it's all progressed. I mean, it's gotta be something with the player development department, how bad this has gone with some of these guys.
Oh, it's 100% on player development. And I mean, like, 2018, it's like you drafted three, and the way the draft works, I mean, like, you think about it, how many picks out of like the top five are like gonna hit and be legit NHL talent? It's very, like, I'm happy they hit on Miller. They had three shots to hit on someone. They hit on Miller. It didn't work with Krav. All right, it sucks that you took him so high, but it is what it is. They didn't hit on Lundqvist just because the Lundqvist situation was just sucked, because there was always a logjam at the right-handed defenseman position. You know, there was just a lot. They didn't have it. They overcompensated and then only got right-hand defensemen. And then, can you stop, man? What the fuck are you doing? I'm sorry. Mochy's got into some shit.
I saw an interesting one, low-key. Josh Kaflin, one of my buddies, tweeted it. Yeah, Vancouver, you looking for another prospect or young player?
The Hoaglander. One?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a lot of... what is his Twitter account? Is this...
Josh_Kaflin.
Oh, I might have just... You might have liked it or something. But yeah, no, that was all over my Twitter today. Yeah, grats all for Hoaglander. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
It would make sense. I mean, the guy was a 0.5 point per game scorer his rookie year. He just hasn't really figured it out since, but it's in Vancouver, so...
I think... Well, okay. So, just before, like, we move on to any other questions that, like, Ethan has and stuff, I think the letter, it's post letter, I think the rebuild has had its highs and it's had its lows. Because as soon as the letter came out, that is when Gorton and company essentially acquired all the assets to then have them fail later. Because they acquired acquired a Lindgren, a Spooner that became Strom for a few years. A bunch of other first, a Grabner for whatever, like first, like they traded a lot away. Hayes to Winnipeg eventually became Trouba. So it's like they established a lot of like the core guys on the team now. I would say where the Rangers failed is in development.
Oh, 100%.
That's what frustrates me is that they've just struggled with developing prospects. And it's like, if you just got someone who has like a third of a brain cell and understands prospect development, and you get all these young guys in your lineup, or even like a fraction of the young guys that you had in this lineup. Anderson didn't work out. Whatever. Hedl has worked out. Kako is still growing. I like his game. Laff, still growing. I think he could be really good. Miller, awesome. Like, Kraftsov didn't work out. Lundqvist didn't work out. Like, there's going to be guys who don't work out. And I hope, like, someone like Offman does. I just wish the Rangers were better at developing prospects, because the guys they've had to trade away, if they were able to develop them properly, it'd be cooler to see them on the team than a fucking Goodrow or just a Ryan Reeves or guys who don't need to be in lineups anymore.
It's coaching. It's also coaching. I mean, the Rangers haven't had a coach that can develop a prospect since like Tom Rennie in 2008. I mean, you went from him to Torts to Vigneault to Quinn to Gallant. I mean,
the thing is with Quinn, that was the whole point, was that they wanted someone to develop prospects, but he couldn't develop. He couldn't develop NHL prospects. He could develop college prospects. And there's a huge difference there.
We'll see what happens. See what happens.
Yes, we will.
Anything else? What's on your mind, E?
About coaching too. We're just going to say, like, especially I think being in the New York market, right? We talked about Vancouver. You talked about some. I won't call Vancouver a small market, but you know what I'm saying. Like some of these other teams around the league that are maybe smaller, coaches have a little more time. I think when you come to New York, you know, you have to sell out MSG. You can't have the Rangers. The Knicks already sell, right? You know, and you see how poor and how like upset fans get. I wonder if that plays a role in it too, with coaches maybe having even less.
Definitely.
Leash, you know.
I would.
And now even.
Yeah, I would say a huge point to that too is, if you take a head coaching job in New York for the Knicks or the Rangers, your leash is already shorter, because the guy who owns the team is not that bright. He's someone that makes a very erratic decisions on a regular basis. If he wakes up and wants to, you know, just fuck with the Rangers, he'll do it just because. Like, he makes very irrational decisions. So you're already kind of, your leash is way shorter than it needs to be. So you really kind of have to knock it out of the park your first season, start competing for playoffs. But it's hard in the NHL and the Rangers to compete. Because everything, you know, you're just, it's very, it feels very Nepo baby in the upper management of the Rangers organization, where as long as you know a guy who knows a guy, you have a job for life until that first guy that got you in retires. So I think that's also an issue. But yeah, I think the Rangers are in a good spot right now. Hopefully the Islanders can find themselves and make a playoff push.
All I want is an Islander Ranger playoff series. That's all I want. It'd be so fun.
Do you want that, Kevin?
Oh, I want all the smoke. Come on.
We always play you guys well.
I think we'd have to have like a live watch party.
Oh, 100%.
Kevin gets to choose like five Ranger fans to sit like behind him with him. You get like five Islander friends. sit behind
you. We're going to Borelli's.
You know, the problem is Ranger fans are just always so much more obnoxious than Islander fans, so I don't know if that would bode too well for me.
How is that possible? Islander fans are from Long Island. Those are some of the most obnoxious people. Kevin, you're not.
Hey, I treated Kevin great when I took him to the Garden. It was a cordial event.
It was a fantastic time. I will give it that. I really enjoyed that. Good times, man. Yeah, well, meanwhile, the Rangers beat the Senators, well, like 7-1 that game, and the Islanders just can't beat them right now.
Yeah, it was a beatdown.
Man, that was
one of the worst power plays I've ever seen in my entire
unbelievable.
Life.
Unbelievable. You know, the power play is 26% this year, second in the league.
Theirs?
I'm being for real.
Even when we went to see Rangers Senators last year, because I got tickets for free, and they were good seats too.
Yeah, they were.
And it was they didn't make a bigger deal out of it than they should have, but it was the game that clinched the playoff spot for the Rangers, like the number two or three spot. So they like didn't make a huge deal of it. It was they were the number two team because they played that game seven was at home against the Penguins. But yeah, they like didn't make a big deal out of it. I think the Senators had four power plays. They went 0-for-4, and I think turned the puck over at least 5 or 6 times while on the power play, which is like the like number one rule of like power play is don't turn the puck over. And like if you lose it against the boards and like they clear it out, that's one thing. But like making passes on a power play, you should not be turning the ball. You should not be throwing it to someone else's stick and then letting them break
out. Sounds like the Islanders. Sounds like the Islanders, man.
And then Kevin and I experienced the worst DJ of all time at that game. I don't remember who it was, but it was arguably like it was terrible.
The intermission would come and it would just like get all dark and just it'd become a rave. It was wild.
Yeah, he would do the commercial breaks too. Like it was bad. He was a part of the Tao DJ group. So if you're ever at a Tao event, be aware that the worst DJ might hop on the sticks. But all right, cool. That's essentially all I got on anything. Any other questions, comments, concerns from you, Ethan?
Yeah. So I just had a few. Few like actual puck questions, and then we'll go into a few just we'll say like still puck but fun puck. So one thing too, right? I don't want to keep talking about Crab. But the one thing too is like why haven't they tried him on the third line? You know, I know there's been a lot coming out about him being on the fourth line. You know, why haven't they tried him with maybe some better line?
They did. That's the problem, is that he got one game, and then Gallant said that wasn't enough. He didn't show me enough, and it's like, oh, cool, yeah, he probably gave him, 14 minutes of ice time? Thanks.
Right. Again, back to that point, that's exactly what it's like. You're going to give the guy more, like, how do you develop talent that way? But, yeah, we're gotcha. I know trade deadlines is still a little bit of ways away. I was going to ask you both individually, care a little bit more about Chris's answer, but Kevin, I'd love to hear yours as well. Who would you guys say for your respective teams right now is, obviously on the Ranger side, right? I think we all want Kane or, Timo, right? But that's not really realistic. Who would you say you guys are looking forward to realistically, or hoping that your team could bring in that make an impact, be a good move before the deadline?
I think the Rangers aren't making any more big moves. And I think something I want to point out or just make clear, not like clear, that's a terrible way of saying it. I want to give credit to both the Islanders for starting the trend and the Rangers for following suit. You make the trade early. You don't have to really overpay for it. There's going to be a team that overpays for Meyer, especially because his qualifying offer is $10 million. And he might ask for more just outside of the qualifying offer. So whoever trades for him, they're going to have to hand over an arm and a leg for him. So I'm happy that both teams hopped on the trade bandwagon early. In terms of any other moves I would want the Rangers, so the Rangers are only going to be making like a small move. If they trade Crabbe, it's either going to be a one for one, like trade your prospect for another prospect that both, they both just need a new change of scenery, or it's going to be like for at most, like the absolute most you're going to get for Kravtsov now is a third round pick. And like, when you think about it, that's just terrible asset management. You bought high, sold low. So outside of that stuff, I think if they can get Lecision out of the lineup, who's just been a disaster.
The faceoff. Faceoff legend.
Yeah, if they can get him out of the lineup. Yeah, he's the Brett Howden, Sammy Blais of the, he's the new one. He's just out there. He's
much worse than both those players, to be honest.
That's the thing. Because Jake said that the other day when I was with him, and I'm like, no, like at least they provided points. Like he's just legit just doing cardio out there. He's just going out for a skate every night. I genuinely think if they can get another fourth line guy like a Mott or just any sort of fourth line guy with Mott level metrics, they're a fine team up and down. I posted on Cap Friendly a poll of what I thought the Rangers were going to do when they, because I was really bored one night. So I posted a poll on Cap Friendly of what the Rangers Tarasenko trade. And I had Tarasenko 50% retained for like a first round pick, Cooley and Jones. And people said it was fair. And it ended up being kind of close. Not really, but
it was a little close. It's pretty close.
50% retained too. Like everyone agreed. It was a very, people would have been very angry at me online if I was the GM and made that trade. But I don't really remember where I was going. Yeah. If you could get someone like Mott, that's, I think what the Rangers should
Otter
be doing.
The Otter.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I think he's a defenseman. I think his numbers kind of suck because St. Louis has kind of been taking steps backwards since.
I take that strand. that was so rude.
just such a he caught the nastiest stray. He's probably just like taking a shit right now, and he's just like, "What the fuck?"
No, he's like, "No, Jack's gonna listen in like 4 months and find this and text me about it."
Cut that.
I see Miko's got 3 penalties in 2 games, so that's a little questionable, but not much else to
go on. Yeah, so he got 3 penalties in 1 game. It was the first game.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Like two of the calls, one, the refs literally skated over to the bench and said, "Yeah, we fucked that one call up. It went off of someone else's stick," because they got him for a delay of game penalty. And it, like, they, you see the review, and it went off who was it? It went off someone's stick. And it was just like, okay, that's, oh yeah, it was Beniers, because they played Seattle. And then the second one, I think they called a slashing penalty after an offsides was called, and the guy was just like I don't know. I didn't see the first one that they called there, that was called a bad penalty. But yeah, if he could just calm down on the penalty minutes, stay at home defenseman. Hopefully his metrics can kind of point in the right direction. But he's a big body. He doesn't mind throwing it. Schneider provides you a little bit of offense. So, yeah, I think the Rangers don't need to do anything else. I think Hanifin's out of the question. That was just kind of me shooting the shit and trying to be a real armchair GM. But Yeah, I think if they could just get a fourth liner at this point, they're mint. What about the Islanders, Kevin? Are the Islanders making any more moves? Are they
done? I don't think they're doing anything. I just know they're gonna. There's gonna be outrage on Islanders Twitter on March, whatever day in March is, February. I don't know. Some Friday. I think it's like March 3rd. Either way. Number one, the Islanders don't have any assets to make any other moves. I think they're stupid if they trade anything else. I mean, how many first-round picks can you move? I mean, there's no rule like the NBA where you have to have it in. Oh, my God, the Senators are on a breakaway. Okay, they stopped it. There's no rule like in the NBA where you have to have a first-round pick in X amount of years, but they have no assets. You can't go – they haven't had a first-round pick since 2018, I think. 2019 maybe they had one. So they have no assets to do anything, and I know Wu's not going to tear it down unless they really start to flounder these next few weeks, and they maybe trade Mayfield for a good haul. I think he'd get a second and prospect, and Parise could probably fetch a second. But I don't think you're going to get anything major for these guys that you want to move, and they don't have any assets to make any other moves. So I think I'm expecting some outrage on Iowa's Twitter, but that's about it. Oh, can't wait.
My boy Drury the Goat. I'll just share with you. You can be excited for it too.
Yeah. I certainly will not.
Yeah, that was one of my big ones. Another one, early prediction, right? Who do we think's coming out the east? Who do we think's coming out the west? What are we thinking? I mean, me and Chris already actually planned where we'll be standing for the
first. Oh, gotcha.
That's easy. Like that's fine. But I really, yeah. Who's coming out of the west? Who do we think at this point?
Who do you think is coming out the west first? Ethan.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams.
Spin zoned them. Oh no. Caught him with his pants down.
They're major in the spin zone. Because I honestly, I needed time to just look at my answer. I totally spun that back on you.
There are teams that play in the West, yes.
Not many. Not many in the West are good at hockey, but there are a few.
So, I mean, just based off my franchise, I occasionally have a hard time with the Stars. So, you know, they're a team. I don't know why, but it's weird.
Smart man.
They can be a little...
Smart man. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, I know Paul. but on top of that, too... Yeah, I'd probably say the Stars. Can I curse on the pod?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
I don't, but my co-host makes up for the both of us.
Yeah, I fuck with Vegas heavy. I would love a Rangers-Vegas Stanley Cup final. Me and Sosa would be like very casual NHL fans. But yeah, I'd probably say the Stars. They seem to be nice, and I want them to come out of the – wait. Yeah, I want them to come out of the West, so that pick's even worse.
Fair.
I mean, it's based on final standing.
Yeah.
I want them to be, like, number one in the West.
Yeah, I think the Stars have everything you like. They got an elite first line, good depth down the middle, great defense, and an elite goaltender. I mean, I can see them getting hot, or Wilkie, the other team I could see. Hot take. If they pull off this deal for Chychrun and Karel Vejmelka, because they need a goalie. They need Vejmelka from Arizona real bad. I think LA could do some damage. I'm going to say it right now. Hot take. I think LA is doing some damage.
I don't know if they're from the east. Yet. I think LA does damage in like a season or two. They're like New Jersey, where like on the outside looking in, they like on paper, it looks like they could do a lot of damage. But like the Rangers are going to play New Jersey this season, and by all accounts, after all the moves, like a lot of people who are insiders or analysts of the game are like, yeah, New Jersey was the better team before the Tarasenko trade. I would like, they're like, you know, it's going to be a better series, but I still think I mean, the Kings made the playoffs last year and took Edmonton to seven. So, I mean, well, I could be talking like
they also got Fiala now. If they get Chychrun and Vezmelka, I don't know. It's looking like a pretty spicy team. The West is so trash.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you two are going to say the Rangers in the East, but I think the Bruins or the Hurricanes probably come out of it, but that's all I'll say.
Yeah. I think whoever in the East, that second round in the Atlantic division, is going to be tough. And then if the Rangers were able to get out of the second round, they have to either play a really beat up Boston team or a really beat up Leafs team. And it's going to be tough to beat either team, but I think they could do it. So I'm going to go the homer answer. I think the Rangers are coming out of the East. Out of the West, though, yeah, most teams suck. Easy answer, and probably the most right answer is Dallas right now. Winnipeg's kind of sneaky. They're playing really good hockey right now.
Hey, Philbrook can take them far. You're right.
Minnesota sucks. Don't let them fool you. They're trash. Vegas, don't let them fool you either. They're banged up, dude. They got a really good record, but they are banged up. Eichel looks like shit this year. Stone's out again. They lost Pacioretty.
Thompson's hurt.
Yeah, so they are not going to be a team that makes a deep run if they make a run. I do like Kevin's answer. Now that I'm thinking about it more, the Kings could potentially make a run. He's right there. Seattle, I need Seattle to not make the playoffs to win $10, so I think it's not their time.
I mean, they're making the playoffs, I think. I want to say really collapse.
Bro, okay.
If they were in the East, I would be like, okay, you know.
Are really Edmonton in the Pacific or the Central?
Pacific.
Okay, they're going to hop over them pretty soon.
Colorado's out of the playoff picture right now. That's
nuts. Yeah, they're a point out of the wild card too.
Wow, who would have thought Alexander Georgiev was the answer in that? Shocker there.
But yeah, like I was going over it over the weekend. I'm like, there's really no one in the West that like truly, truly scares me. Maybe outside of like Dallas. And for me, Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg could probably give teams a run for their money. Dallas is probably the rest of the West kind of sucks. I mean, Edmonton, I'm saying that like Edmonton's not a fucking juggernaut with Connor McDavid.
I know. You give me three sides. I mean, bad things could happen.
Imagine Carlson to Edmonton, dude, because I'm hearing rumblings that Carlson might be going to Edmonton.
I just want to see Carlson dry sound McDavid in overtime. That's all I want.
And I was thinking about it too. I'm like, imagine you got out of Ottawa, like you liked being there, but you're like, it's time for me to move on. San Jose is like 7-year contract, $11.5 million. You're like, fuck yeah, I'm moving. I live on the I live on the water, California. It's beautiful. And then like 3 years into it, they're like, great that you're having a renaissance in your career. We suck though, so we're gonna trade you. And he goes, okay, where am I going? Edmonton's offering us a lot right now. And you're like, what? I think I go to Edmonton in February.
He's under contract too, so he's not like,
I gotta stay at Edmonton for 4 more years.
I think, yeah, I don't know. It depends how bad he wants to win. Jeez, that's pretty rough though.
But yeah, all right. Anything else?
I'll throw one fun one in here too.
Who?
Who has the best goal horn in hockey, and why is it the Rangers?
Yeah, who's the best? I love the Ducks. I love the base. I think it's so sick.
It's tough to beat though. The MSG just with like the
yeah.
No, it goes whoa like that, but yeah, you got it.
I don't know.
For that reason, yeah. I'm out.
I guess, again, homer answer, Rangers for me. Just because I don't love it. Like it's cool during the regular season. But like I tend to not pay attention. If I'm not paying attention to the game and I hear the horn going, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, they're up. But I'm not, like, hyped about it. It's a totally different horn come playoff time. Like, I've never been to a Rangers playoff game. I would love to be there in person to, like, hear and experience it. But just playoffs for me, they score, you hear the horn going off, and you hear Sam, even though he fumble fucks half of the shit he says on the broadcast now, he still calls a really good goal, especially like a goal in overtime. Like the Panarin one, I still watch that Panarin round one, game seven against Pittsburgh. And I'm like, this is like, he just killed the call. Kenny Albert, I think on ESPN, I think he was calling the game on ESPN. Or maybe it was TNT. I think he's on TNT. He called a great game. Or he had a great call. and just that he didn't do anything. He just said Panarin scored and that was it. And then like just let the rest of it was great. So
Very quickly. Oh, sorry, go ahead. I thought you were done. Go.
No, I was just the last point, but you should have cut me off because I was gonna say I don't know too many other goal horns.
Islanders got an overtime power play, did not score, and now they're going off against this ECHL Kevin Mandelays in a shootout. So if they lose this game, I might lose my mind. I might legitimately lose my mind if they lose the shootout right now.
If the podcast cuts off short, Kevin ended it. He's just in a fit of rage.
Sorokin's so bad at shootouts, dude. This can be a live reaction, and then we do. I don't know.
Any other? Reiterate. God,
they lost. Anyway, I'm gonna jump.
Just to reiterate how this works, so don't tell us who the player is. Just read off the facts that you have, and then we're gonna take a wild guess of who it is, and then you know once we eventually give up, we will. You'll just tell us, and then we'll move on. So, Ethan, feel free to lead us off since you're our guest. Lead the way.
Yeah. And just so I'm 100% clear, right? When you say the facts, right? How specific do you want these facts? I have a whole bunch on them, from crazy to like the team he plays for.
Start with like a few crazy / difficult or slightly difficult, and if we can't get it, we'll go to the easies.
Okay, that's very fair. All right. Cool. Gotcha. All right. First thing, I'll start because I don't think it helps. He was born in Riga, Latvia. Yeah, that helps. Okay. That they look like they got it already.
Definitely not.
Yeah. His current plus minus for this season is -3. For his career, it's -60.
-63. Is this a current player?
Yeah.
-63. Okay.
That's over his NHL career.
Jesus.
All right. His current penalty minutes are, for his career, 167. And I'll just throw in to put in perspective, he's played 595 NHL career games.
Okay.
You guys don't have
any. Not yet. Latvians. Those damn Latvians. Yeah.
He's terrible, though. That's the thing.
Oh, I know who it is.
There's no way.
It'd be Zygmunt Girgensons.
I believe it's pronounced Zygmunt
Girgensons. Yeah, Let's go.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of Latvians that were on crap teams, and it's just Buffalo right there.
I didn't realize it was that simple. The way I decided that player is I looked up NHL funniest.
It is a very memorable name.
I tried to find someone who wasn't playing in, you know.
I like that. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I think what hurts you is there's not many Latvians. There's a few, but.
Yeah, I actually just learned he was from Latvia, as I asked that. So, yeah.
All right, Chris, you want to go next or should I?
I'll go next, yeah. All right, this player was drafted in 2014. He's a right winger who has played for two teams. He's currently in the Pacific. He won gold with Sweden in the 2018 World Championship. Had back-to-back 61-point seasons in 2016-17 and 2018-19. When he was relatively relevant, had a 34-goal season in 18-19. On his 28th birthday, he scored a hat-trick against the Red Wings in the 2020-2021 season. His first season with his new team, he became the fastest player on the team with the team to score 20 points since Mike Richards in 2011.
I got it. Victor Arvidsson?
It is Victor Arvidsson.
I'm too hot. I'm too good. I'm too good.
Yeah, Kevin is the encyclopedia of this shit, so it's just like you gotta come with your four seam fastball. Because
all right, my guy was, so I said, I guess this one's kind of like, yeah, depends who you ask. It's one of the most underrated players in the league. He's a current captain who has won multiple cups, but he wasn't the captain when they won the cup. He's from a country outside the Power Five, so no US, Russia, Sweden, Finland, Canada. He's got 1,000 career points, one of 95 players of all time. Two Selkies, four-time nominee, plays on the West Coast.
Is it Kopitar?
Oh, nicely done. Andrzej the Great.
I was like, I'm like, okay. The West, I was like, okay. The 1,000 points in the West, I was like, okay, I can dial in on who it is. And then you said it wasn't the captain when they won. I'm like, all right, what is he still in
Brown?
I'm like, yeah, it was Dustin Brown. Yeah, dude, they just had Dustin Brown night the other night.
That's what made me think of it. I guess it probably was too soon. Good one. Wow. Gergensen's Arvidsson, Kopitar. I was laughing. I realized you had Arvidsson. I was like, two kings. We've done that multiple times now on accident.
We're just on the same wavelength a lot recently, so we need to start hitting the sports book.
I'll have to come back with a really tough one next week or 2 weeks from now. Just get ridiculous.
Cool. Yeah. So Ethan,
podcast.
Thank you for making your first appearance on From Broadway to Belmont. You know, stick taps. We're gonna wrap up the episode now. So thank you everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed our banter, our discussions, our Ethan's questions, and whatever gets cut, you'll never hear it. But maybe if we start a Patreon, we'll eventually release it.
Oh man. It's gonna be a lot of editing for me. No, not that much. Just $2.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe to the podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. I have not done a closing segment in a while. Subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Anchor. We're everywhere. So fucking tap in. Make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and write a nice review. Share the podcast, listen to it multiple times. And if you're one of our brothers and you didn't listen today after you found out another brother's on it, maybe we should be separated by even more of a distance. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at From Broad to Bell. We're tweeting on there a lot. Kevin just declared the Islander season's over, so check it out. We're going semi-viral every other fucking day.
My tweets are banging, but I'm sick to my stomach. So
it's mainly become an Islanders fan page with Rangers tidbits here and there.
Because
it's like 47 likes on an Islanders tweet, 3 on mine, and I'm like, I can't fucking compete, man.
I feel like mine are always like, I like, it's the journalism in me. Like, I write them out, you know, I make sure it's like,
I just live reaction tweet.
It's like the emotion just
flies. I'm a live reaction tweeter. I immediately jumped to the podcast tweet and I'm just like, yeah!
That's a big difference. You can always tell who tweets what. That's funny.
And I will. I'm getting this out there now. When the Rangers do make the playoffs again, my third period live streams are so coming back. I will try to dial back the extracurriculars I'm doing. they're coming back because I've watched some of them back and I was like, Jesus, dude, I should not have done this. But they were good. I had a good time. So make sure you tap into those when the playoffs come around. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Ethan, anything else before we leave?
No, appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks for the pop. That's it.
Great guest.
I think there's a lot of respect between us here. As I claimed earlier, he was not an obnoxious.
I still like you.
Best of luck to your Islanders. Tanking for the number one pick the remainder of the season.
Do not say that. Jesus Christ, do not say that.
Yeah, they got to fall a little bit more. They can only jump up 10 spots, so they got to fall. They got to fall to at least 22, which I guess is impossible. Jamie Connor.
I'm not going to watch if they get Bedard. I'll stop watching.
Yeah, but appreciate you guys. This was a pleasure. It's only been a year and a half of me trying to So, I hope all my questions were great. And thanks again, guys.
Kevin, anything else?
No, sir.
All right, we'll see you guys in a few weeks. Peace.
We'll be right back.